everyone, and welcome back to the Grid Rocket Podcast. On this week's episode, we are doing most controversial motorsport opinions. So anything that's, well, I guess, against the norm, we will have an opinion on. So four of us here, so we have four controversial opinions, and we're going to start with the oldest in the group, which is Ken. So Ken,
hello.
What is your controversial opinion on motorsport? Oh, sorry, motorsport in general.
Well, I'm going to start us off with the F1 related opinion, and like I gave the cross to it in on the last episode, and now I'm going to volley at Top Bin. Drive to Survive is both a good thing, but also be the worst thing to ever happen to Formula One.
Oh, worst thing to happen to Formula One.
I mean,
that's a big.
On the previous episode, I had to go, yay, season three, but they're going to screw it up like they did the previous two seasons. And yes, it is enjoyable for people who know nothing about Formula One. But for people like us, like who make podcasts about it, I just cringe because they just pull stuff out of a non-existing bag to make the series more juicy and to draw more Americans and 12-year-old girls in who then start Lando Norris accounts.
But however, though, Ken, Drive to Survive is more exciting than real F1 at the moment.
It is entertainment. The entertainment value is through the roof, but it's so cringeworthy. Like, right, I'm just going to say two or three things about it.
Okay.
To make my point, like we said last episode, the engine noises. You're making a car-related show, and you put noises from an engine that haven't been in a Formula One car for 4 or 5 years. That's not good. Who cleared that? Who said yes? Let's put some yes. Like who in the editing room was like, "Nah, I'm gonna clear that. That's good." Second of all, and this is may or may not be slightly Max Verstappen related. Some team radios. So Max Verstappen gave an interview. It was in Dutch. That's why it didn't go all viral. And people were like, ooh, shame, shame, shame. But he's not happy with the series. He says it's just so bullshit and sensationalism. Because some of the things he said to his engineer, like obviously they're recorded. Everyone can hear them. You can re-listen them if you want as well. Some of the things that he said in Australia or Austria, Netflix uses on a different race.
Oh, do that. I didn't realize that.
They especially did it during that whole Ricardo Verstappen, ooh, Verstappen bad, Dutchie bad. You know, Ricardo Gudega, yay, go to a different team, where he already fucked off again, but yay. And to fuel that whole discussion, they used team radios from Verstappen from different races just to, you know, light that fire. That's just that's so bad because that's when you get uninformed people having the biggest mouths on Twitter. Rant over. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
But how do you guys feel about it? I mean, engine noises. I'm not sure if I'm just being anal, but it annoys me.
Yeah, no,
and
I agree
making
on
it
that
also
sense.
Hollywood-esque with quotes that are being misused and. I don't know.
I agree in that way. However, you're attracting more people to a series which in tow will attract them to the races and then to actually go to a circuit, which of course will make F1 money. I see where you're coming from, but I also see it from an entertainment point of view, and it is quite entertaining from an outsider. Like, my mum watches it. She doesn't like F1 at all, but she watched Drive to Survive because of the drama and the excitement of the series. So I see where you're coming from, but I also see where it's coming from Netflix as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the sport, it's good that, like you said, more people going to races once this whole pandemic blows over. More revenue, which is obviously a good thing. But what type of people? Do you really want to be sat next to one for... an entire race.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, shouting about Lewis the whole time, and I don't want that.
I think he's on mute, isn't he? I thought he was going to bite there.
I'm lagging loads. I didn't hear any of that. So.
Oh, don't worry. It was just we didn't want.
Just an old man rant.
Yeah, Lewis wasn't mentioned at all, so I wouldn't worry. Not at all. But I agree with Ollie more on this one. I think in that
yes,
in that the whole idea of getting Netflix involved with creating a show about F1 and all of that sort of thing was to attract more people that it wouldn't normally, just a race weekend wouldn't attract, but Drive to Survive would. And I think that's kind of the main idea of it. Because at the end of the day, if you're an F1 fan, what you watch isn't going to change your opinion about someone or change what you thought about a situation or something. You've already arrived at your own decision on that. So like saying about, oh, Max bad, Daniel Ric good, he should have moved on, blah, blah, blah. You've probably already made your own decision about that without watching the show. And it's the same one afterwards. Mm. So
thing is, people who don't know who are completely new, because that's the kind of people that are being attracted, people who are completely new to Formula One. Like, we already know the rules, regulations, etc. So we watch it for entertainment. Yeah. Other people watching it who know nothing about Formula One, it's the first time meeting that driver. So their opinion is formed due to the image that has been said in the documentary. In Drive to Survive. And that's what annoys me, because everyone's like, yay, he's so good, he's perfect. And in real life, he can be a massive asshole for all we know.
Mm.
That's what dangerous about it, that they don't set a realistic image of the world of Formula One.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
It's such a professional environment. It's not like it's not a school playground where you're like, I don't like him, I don't want to be in the team with him. So that's the way they put it. That's the way they project it. Like Formula One is all toxicity amongst the drivers, but they all get along quite well. Maybe not all of them, but they do get along quite well.
The majority, yeah.
Yeah, the majority get along quite well. They're all very professional. And if they would say to people who hate each other, for example, next season, your teammates, no one's going to argue. But they said it like it's the most toxic environment where, ooh, Ferrari bad, Mercedes good, or the other way around, I don't know. And that's why I think it's the dangerous thing, because you bring new people to the sport, but badly misinformed people to the sport, who then, due to social media and everyone enjoying the cover of being anonymous on the internet, who then project their wrong informed opinion and just spew it out on the internet for everyone to hear. And that's what annoys me the most about that. Like, if you're going to bring new people in, at least inform them properly.
Mm. No, it's a very good point.
So, yeah, no, I can't argue with that.
And if you agree,
I've gone on for 10 minutes.
No, that's fine. If you agree with Ken, let us know in the comment section below or tweet us at GridWatchersPod. But I'm going to go next with my controversial opinion. And it's to do with the future of motorsport. So engine sounds are completely irrelevant when it comes to enjoyment of racing. It's about the action on track, not about the car going vroom, vroom, really, really loud. Loud noises don't help the cars, the drivers, be better or more exciting.
See, that one's going to get split straight down the middle. You're going to have people like
you're
going to have people like me and you, Ollie, that care about the planet. And what's going to happen, which for me is in 3 years, the cars won't make any sound. It will be silent, or it will be like a slight little whir, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who will care about that are 50-year-old bald blokes with tattoos that are stuck in the good old days, you know? Mm-hmm. That's where the line's going to be drawn. Like, it makes complete sense, because, like, looking forward, they're talking about becoming carbon neutral, which basically means you won't be able to use big, loud, noisy engines. You'll have to use either, it'll basically just have to be silent, you know? I think that one's fair, to be fair. Well, the only person that would disagree is Ken. But
no, I was about to say that Ken would disagree after our Extreme E conversation a few weeks back.
No, I honestly agree with the opinion.
Oh,
thing is, it wouldn't work for for like current Formula One because it's a bit boring.
Mm.
And then if you take away the sound as well, then it would be just a tad more boring. But yeah, like Formula E is enjoyable for because less aero, so closer racing. They just tap each other from time to time. It's nice. Extreme E, if it goes through, is going to be epic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I get to see epic racing, I don't care what sound comes out of the speakers, even if it's enhanced or whatever. No, not enhanced. What was I going to... You know, that they recreated with a computer, I don't care.
Mm.
But as long as racing is good, no, I fully agree.
Oh. Alex?
Now!
Oh, here we go.
So, if you're going to tell me that a massive V10 engine doesn't add to the spectacle in the same way a shit ton in V6 does, then you are wrong.
Well,
it just adds to the spec. It adds to everything. It's part of it. Like, it feels like if I've been watching about like 2004 races, it just feels different.
Okay.
It feels more exciting and everything feels more, dangerous feels like the wrong word, but that it could all go very terribly wrong very quickly.
Okay. But let's take it slightly out of context. What if it's a cycling race and it's head-to-head between four guys going towards a line? They don't make any noise, but that's still exciting. Or race. There's no noise coming out the athletes' mouths.
Yeah, but road running is pretty boring anyway. Cycling I can kind of get in with cycling I'll give you. Cycling is quite exciting, but that's because I know that anyway, but they could all crash into each other and all be on the floor.
Have you been watching Drive to Survive recently, Alex?
Now you say it, no.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, looking, you know, for me who watches electric racing and you know, rallycross, like those who've listened to the pod know that's my favourite type of motorsport. That's going electric soon as well. But for me, it doesn't bother me as long, like Ken said, as long as it's good racing, I couldn't really care. And I don't mind the electric noise. I quite like the whining as it goes up as they put their foot down, to be honest. I like the sound of a V10, but I couldn't care less if it's good racing. And, you know, we're not seeing that at the moment in F1, and they're, you know, they can be as loud as they want to. It doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it just adds like an extra element to it. It doesn't feel quite as adrenaline fueled in the same way that the V6s we've got now, the 1.6 V6s don't feel quite as like adrenaline fueled and like sort of out of this world as they did when they had the V8s, V10s from, you know, the early 2000s.
But going forward, like Rick's mentioned, we're all going to have to go electric or hybrid at least. There won't be any noise then. What are you going to do then?
Well, we are hybrid anyway, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then, we are. Well, the thing is that then you can see... I think the issue for me is that the engines at the moment just sound terrible. If they were quieter but still kind of rumbly, it'd be good. They do just sound pretty rubbish at the moment. So if it's all electric, then I could kind of go, well, yeah, because that makes sense. They should sound quiet, whereas at the moment I feel like they should sound not necessarily louder, but better. And I think that might be clouding my judgment. But, you know,
so what if the
only way they're going to change how it sounds is if it's fake, which will trigger people even more. So,
yes.
Would you prefer fake noise over electric noise, Alex?
No. I would honestly prefer silence over the V6s we have at the moment.
Okay.
Well, I am, Ollie, you mentioned Rallycross going electric.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to miss those four-pot turbos, though. That sound.
You see?
Yeah, but that's different
because Rallycross is good, though.
Yeah, but Rallycross, the racing will be good, whether it's electric, pedal-powered, or four-pot turbos.
Yeah.
Racing's good.
Yeah. I think the only bit I'd miss from Rallycross is the launch noise that you get from
bouncing off the limiter.
Yeah, exactly. But you get that sort of screeching start in electric cars anyway. And with time, I think everyone is a bit scared at the moment because it's all new. But over time, it'll only get better.
Yeah. The only downside I can see, like, we all went Goodwood, yeah? And we watched the hill climb and everything soaring by. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a spectacle, like, if everything's electric.
You're right. Hey,
that's kind of where I'm coming from with it.
But with Goodwood, it's historic anyway.
Yeah, it's historic, yeah.
So you're always going to get electric cars, old cars going up the hill anyway. And it's not like classic car racing is dying. It will still be a thing, and they'll just change the engines to hydrogen engines, and it'll still make the same, you know, it'll still make the same noise. That won't go away. But for me, I reckon it's better. And Alex, you're just wrong.
I love how you said, so this is motorsport opinions, and you just said I'm wrong.
No, you are wrong.
But it's three versus one here.
I don't care.
Well,
yeah, there you go.
On that point then, Alex, it's your go. You can go next.
Ah, so this I mean, you've slid me right into a nice little, you know, segue here.
Okay.
I want to say the sentence, I want to hear the uproar I'm going to get from it.
Okay.
Formula E is incredibly overrated.
Shut up, Alex. Get in the bin.
Get the fuck out of here, Alex.
Boot him out. He's not part of the podcast anymore.
So incredibly overrated.
You can tell Alex is the kind of person that's watched one race. That's it, I'm done.
Yeah, watch 5 minutes.
Watch it ever again. Come on.
I sit there. It's just a series full of people that couldn't get into F1 or were too shit to stay in it. Or are just sort of washed up. So
I will not let you diss my man Van Dorn like that.
Couldn't make it in McLaren, so he's gone to FE. And oh my god, Van Dorn's suddenly incredible again. Yeah, because the rest of the competition's shit. Like, who's Sam Bird?
Shut up about Sam Bird. Sam Bird is a great 24-hour racer. You are wrong. He is my favourite Ferrari driver.
Oh yeah, because he's already raced for Ferrari, hasn't he? No, because he couldn't get there because he was too rubbish for it. So he went to FE.
That's wrong.
He just didn't have enough money. Maybe that's what happened.
Well, let's Alex finish his point, and then we'll have a go with him.
Oh yeah, it's close racing because they just crash into each other constantly. Oh yeah, that's close because he's inside your ass. Like, yes, that's not how.
You'd like that, would you?
You know, just crash into each other constantly. Oh, what a great move! Yes, because you speared him into a wall. When they're racing, they start lifting off a kilometer before the actual braking zone to save electricity. Well, if the electric stuff was so good, they wouldn't need to. They've only just got to say it's like 3 years in where they didn't need to change cars halfway through. I feel like it's so hyped up and it's not that good.
Right, who wants to start having a go at him? Rick, do you want to start?
It just stinks. Only that whole opinion stinks. it's the smelliest thing I've ever smelled. It's awful. Like, what I thought similarly until I watched half a season of it, and then I loved it. It's so much better. It's so much better each on like a race per race, right? Like, mm-hmm. You get more action in two races than you do in like a whole season of F1. So, mm-hmm. And the cars are more like, because there isn't a lot of space, you see a lot more moves where you're like, ooh, because you don't think they're going to make it, but they somehow find the space. I think the only thing that I think because the rules are a little bit different and they change a lot, I think for somebody new, it's quite hard to like to get how it works. But after you've watched half a season, like the one bit that I didn't get is you had to go through the like different section of a corner to like get like the overtake. And then once mm-hmm. you've gone there, you can then use it. Like that was a bit that I was a little bit confused on, but that's stuff like that is so good. And it makes it more like a game, I suppose, with the fan boost as well.
I was gonna say that's the only one good thing about FE. Only one thing is that fan boost. The only thing.
Wait, you think that fan boost is the best thing about Formula E?
Yes. The only good thing about Formula E is the fan boost, and I wish they brought that into F1.
So this podcast is not really made up of three people.
Can you imagine the state of fan boost in Formula One?
It would just be Lewis winning every single time, wouldn't it?
Lando or Lewis? No. Rocket shit strapped to
it. It wouldn't be Lewis.
Well, to be fair, it would be Max every single time, to be fair.
Maybe, probably.
But I think because the personalities are so much bigger in F1, then it would just obviously happen. Like, it would have been like that one race where George Russell was in the Merc, he would have got it, you know. But anyway, Ollie, please just roast him, because this is great.
You know, can I just...
Go on, Ken, go first.
Seeing about all, like, Formula E, like, they're just too shit for Formula 1, maybe, like Rickon said, either they didn't have the financial backing, or maybe they just didn't like, or didn't want to stay in Formula 1. Like, there's some really...
Or didn't have a choice.
There's some really good drivers. Buemi.
Yeah, two-time Le Mans winner.
Thank you.
Failed Formula 1 driver.
Lucas de Grassi.
Failed Formula 1 driver.
Two-time Le Mans winner.
Thank you.
Andre Lotterer.
Lotterer, Felix da Costa, Robin Freins, Nick Heidfeld, Brendan Hartley, who's a failed Formula One driver.
That grid from top to bottom is so much better than the F1 grid from top to bottom. I'm talking about the spread of talent throughout each team. That's what makes it better, because it's like there's a potential to be like a different winner every single race.
You
just never get that in F1.
But the list just goes on. NASA, Gary Paffett, Piquet Jr., Nico Prost, René Rast, who's, I think he's from DTM as well. There's so many talented drivers. And Causa, do you remember, I don't know if you know his name, but there was a certain Brazilian driver, drove for Williams. I think his first name was, Ollie, help me out on this. Brazilian driver for Williams, only retired a few years ago.
Senna.
After Senna.
He's dead, isn't he?
After
Rubens Barrichello.
After Barrichello, like a few years ago. I think he
was Piquet Jr.
No.
I'm joking. Felipe Massa.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Colton, would you call Felipe Massa a failed Formula One driver then? Because he's in Formula... Oh, he was in Formula E. Is, sorry.
Oh, I mean, did he win a world title and arguably the best car of the season? No.
I mean, this is going to... Oh, four.
There's no way you're going to get it to change his mind. The only way you do is if we force him to watch a whole season of it so he can understand how good it is. That's the only way he changes his mind.
I mean, can I just at this point, there's no way I'm saying that F1 is like so incredibly better. I'm just saying that FE is incredibly overrated.
What's Ken...
You can hear Ollie going...
Like Ken said, the drivers aren't, you could say, failed in quotations. I wouldn't agree with that. Like Ken said, there are drivers in that series who are very close, very good, and like Rick said, very close. Better fan interaction. It's cheaper. It's in the middle of the city. You don't have to travel ages to get to any of these circuits at the middle of nowhere. It's closer. It's more engaging. The cars look cooler.
I was just going to say that. I'm looking at the pictures now. The Gen 2. The Gen 1 looked like a toy car.
Oh, yeah. Gen 2. Gen 2 looks good.
Was Gen 1 when they still had to swap cars halfway through the race?
Yeah, it was. I agree
that
with
was
that.
Sick. That was
actually exciting, because you could choose, like, do I push like a madman in the opening laps or do I wait till the closing laps? It added another layer of tactics to it. I actually like that, but it's worse for the environment, though.
Exactly. And again, better for the environment.
Yeah.
So, Alex,
clearly,
you're wrong.
Alex just wants to see the world burn, man. We get
Oh, yeah, because the fact they've flown all the way from one side of the world to the other is really helping the carbon footprint, isn't it?
Mate, you want to see the world burn, but, like, I understand. Fine, mate. You don't
I just want to drive my diesel until the government will pay for me to have a Tesla.
Oh, God.
Alex, he drives his diesel car. He wants to see the world burn. He doesn't believe in COVID.
Excuse me.
He should hear some of the stuff he says before we go live, man. We have to put a filter on him. It's so bad.
I know. He thinks the Queen's a lizard person. People live in the ground. There's still a megalodon in the sea, apparently. Yeah. Awful. So finally, Rickson.
You're just going to leave it at that. Just go roast him and then right next person.
Well, I think we don't. There's nothing more to say. Alex is going to change his mind until he watches a whole season. So next season. Well, it starts, actually, Alex, it starts next week. You can watch it then.
Actually, can I just say, I'm actually really struggling with my sleep schedule, so it might help.
Oh.
Oh, that took far too long to understand that.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We've just got slapped with another 3 weeks of curfew.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. No.
Well, Ken, don't worry. You've got some notice spot on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I'm not outside past 9 p.m. But the curfew is from 9 p.m. But I'm not outside anyway. But it's just, another 3 weeks of endless articles and professionals coming on the telly. Ugh.
Funny thing is,
the guy who slapped us today with another 3 week curfew was photographed today going shopping without a mask on, and the country's eating him alive, and it's hilarious.
Mm.
That's all right. You can sit there watching your beloved Formula E, Ken.
He can.
I mean, I can. I will.
I will
enjoy it.
And
as
you
well.
Will enjoy it, Alex.
Yeah.
Anyway, the finish off, Rickson, what is your controversial motorsport opinion?
So I haven't really thought about much to do with this because most of mine are, apart from Lewis is the GOAT, which is
we all agree on that he is.
Unfortunately, we do now, yeah.
So for a bit of background on mine, I said a couple of podcasts ago that I've been watching old races and like the end of season programs they do, or they used to on the BBC, and they were like 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently watched the 2001, 2002, 2003 and 2004 ones. All of those were like prime Schumi years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Schumacher had potentially the easiest ride in terms of his car being good, but also the team putting him in favour every single year and having the biggest pushover of a teammate in Barrichello. So he basically had the easiest ride to championships. And I'm not saying that that's because he's the best. I'm saying because all his car was very good, more the fact that everything, when he wanted something to go his way, he could force his hand or force his team's hand and then bend it to help him win. He had the easiest time to win races, basically.
So Schumacher's 6 titles were overrated, or the titles at Ferrari basically were overrated?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Not his, just I think Ferrari's titles.
Oh, all right.
In general. But also his were as well, from this point of view. And I know that you could say the same about Lewis as well. But the Rubens' will as a racing driver got bent so badly in the early 2000s. The one that I watched was German Grand Prix in 2002, I think. Mm. Might be 2003, 2002. Barrichello was clean through to win the race, and they went, "Can you pull over and let shoot me through for the championship?"
That was Austria, wasn't it?
And he was so far ahead. Schumacher, there was no way he was going to lose the championship, not even if it went catastrophically wrong.
Mm.
He was still going to win it, and they asked him to pull over. Like, I'm not sure if that's the exact race.
I can't remember. It was definitely
something like that, where they just went, "Rubens, we need you to move over and let Michael through." And it was like the last lap, and he pulled over and let him pass. But the championship was all but clear. And I think without that, if he would have been challenged by his teammate, who in a lot of the races was not quicker but as quick and was in front, you know, if they didn't bend the rules that badly, I think he would have not a lot. Obviously he's still a good driver, but he would have nowhere near as many championships as he does now because of that.
Right, I'm gonna,
here we go,
get into a minefield and have an argument with Rickson.
Let's go, Ken. Come on, mate.
It's ruining our friendship.
I feel like Rickson has got a few points, including like asking him to pull over where the championship was already in the bag. Then it's just kicking a man who's down, you know, in Rubens, or you know, towards Rubens. But what you know, like that Ferrari car, yes, it was very dominant and that got them a lot of world titles. Because, I mean, any other team just couldn't catch up. That car was way too good. And, you know, top tier team, that was Ferrari in the 2000s. You know, how times have changed. But top drivers get a seat in the top team. I said it a few podcasts ago as well when we were talking about Lewis and all his accomplishments. Like, he deserves that seat, obviously. But, you know, thing is, would you call the titles overrated, or could you just say that the other teams didn't do enough to make it more difficult, or didn't have the means to make it more difficult?
What I'm saying, because Williams were very close in that year in terms of their drivers and their car, it just never it just struggled to finish races. Keep the pace the same throughout the whole race, which is obviously saying that the drivers aren't good enough and the car is good enough, but they were nearly there. I think it's more the fact that they had a 1-2, they were clear, Rubens was ahead on multiple occasions. They asked him to pull over to let Marco through, even though it was a guarantee that Ferrari were going to win both the drivers and the team, you know, championships. There was no need for them to bend the rules.
To bend the rules.
Much. Even if he is a second driver, that is just ridiculous. Imagine,
that's disgusting.
It is. Like, he was 3-4 seconds ahead, final lap. They say, Rubens, can you pull over? I'm going to let Michael win. And because of him being a second driver, he had to say yes, otherwise he would have got a bollocking. But how much closer would have those championships would have been if Rubens had a chance to win multiple races?
There wasn't
enough of a challenge because the team didn't let it, which I can understand.
Yeah, well, Michael was their poster boy, wasn't he?
It just reflects so badly on Michael because it makes it look like he had an easy ride.
And it wasn't.
The team forced Rubens' hand to make it really easy for him. Whereas now, I'm not talking about Mercedes, teams in general let their drivers battle. If obviously one is a lot quicker or on a different tyre or whatever, then they can go straight past because that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But if you've got like Lewis catching up to Bottas, Lewis has to overtake him. Bottas won't ask him to move. You know, and that's the same for almost every single team, apart from Red Bull, maybe.
Just give Bottas the wrong tyres and then sort it out in the pits.
But in terms of like on track, you know,
they won't do that.
They go, Bottas, can you move over? I'm going to let Lewis through. And I don't know if that's just because times have changed.
Times have changed.
You can't do that anymore, but
You can't give orders like that anymore through the team radio.
It still is just like, I just watched it because obviously I never watched F1 back then. So to go back and watch it, I'm thinking like, how easy was that? There was nobody around them and they wouldn't let them battle. It was just, Michael needs 10 more points here. He's already won the championship, but let him through anyway. It's like, that's just not fair.
Thing is, Ferrari's way of thinking back in that day was like, you know, Michael was their poster boy. Like, if you say anyone, even someone who hasn't ever seen Formula One, and you ask him who's Michael Schumacher, they're gonna immediately associate him with the Ferrari red. But he drove for plenty other teams, but they always associate him with Ferrari red and being absolutely dominant. So Ferrari jumped in on the idea and absolutely screwed Rubens over. Like you said, they forced his hand to not be able to even slightly battle or, you know, put the heat on Michael, because they couldn't have that. That would have been a nightmare for them. Like you said, Rickson, like it's he just had to win. So they screwed over Rubens whenever they could. Sometimes literally, like saying just pull over. Other times,
it's just
more,
shocking though, because.
Soul. Yeah,
in the long run, it makes his championships look weak,
gifted,
really weak, because they were gifted to him. Like, obviously, not every single one, right? All seven were a fucking cakewalk for him, because I don't know what happened in each one of those seven seasons, right? And I obviously had to battle for some wins and like pass cars, whatever, you know, like you would have to do to win a race. But for me now, when I look back on those years and those seasons, it just doesn't make him look weak, but it makes that whole team during that period look like one of the weakest championship teams there's ever been. You know, And obviously, because none of us actually follow that team properly, I doubt I'll get much backlash from you guys. But I imagine somebody who is a big fan of that era would obviously say something different. But it just, for me, looking back on that on paper now, it's like that one was a safety car, and they pitted Rubens and kept shooting me out, and that's why he won. Or they told Rubens to stop on track and let Michael pass on that race, and that he got another 15 points there when he didn't need them to make it look like he won by a massive margin, like in championship points. When in matter of fact, that number could have been halved. He still would have won the championship, but I think it would have been much better to watch, you know. But yeah, I think that era in general has opened my eyes to how easy it was for him, and not just because the car was great, but because, like I said, the team bent everybody's will apart from his to make it easy.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you watched the Lance Armstrong documentary about his cycling career, and it was saying how he was almost bigger than the sport and bigger than the team. And if I sort of, he was explaining how Michael, it was all about Michael. It reminded me of that, how he was almost bigger than the sport, and it was just keep Michael happy, make sure he gets his titles and not care about anyone else. It sort of seems that way. Like you mentioned, Rubens was literally a beating boy in that team, and he didn't really care about him. It was all about Michael. I almost agree. I mean, it's turned out that our controversial opinions don't seem to be that controversial, really, in this episode. But yeah, I think I agree with you, Rickson.
No, I'll back that as well. I think I'll back what he says. It seems to have just been everything was geared around Schumacher winning, and that was it. No matter what else, it was all geared around him winning. And I feel like that isn't the way to run a team. And if you then go, oh yeah, I won 7 world titles. Well, yeah, kinda.
Yeah, no, you're right, because of course it was almost too easy for him. But then you could say same about Lewis, though.
No, he's had to fight for them.
The difference between Lewis and Schumacher is 2016, when Rosberg won.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2016, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. My memory. If that was Schumacher Barrichello scenario, races before the final race of the season, they would have made sure Lewis had that championship wrapped up, so there was no way Rosberg could have won it.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, because,
there's no way they would have let Hamilton hold up Rosberg in the final race of the season like he did, like really driving slow enough to hold him up, but quick enough to stay ahead and backing the Ferraris up into the back of Rosberg. You know, that race was amazing, by the way. I might have to watch that again. It's one of those ones where it might be because, like Ken said, that it's a different era now, and the teams work differently, and you can't communicate as much. But Hamilton, if it was that easy for Hamilton now, like there's no way he would have the same amount of hype around him as he does. There's no way he'd be in the GOAT. You know, nobody would call him the GOAT if it was that. I still would, but nobody else would call him the GOAT if he won that. You know, that's why Schumacher, for me, he's still a GOAT, but he's like third on the GOAT list.
Wait, who's second?
Yeah, who's second?
Fangio, he's second.
Oh, right, okay.
Then Schumacher.
Okay.
One question in your top 10 list. Mika Häkkinen in there?
No, of course not.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, different. Different, we'll do another one. We'll have another episode.
Fernando isn't in there.
That's fine. At least you got some taste then. Who else is in there then?
Thanks, kid.
Can I just say
Heikki Kovalainen, Timo Glock.
No, but imagine saying like, no, I didn't put Häkkinen in, but I put Alonso in. I mean,
same at world titles.
It's personal preference, isn't it?
Häkkinen wouldn't be in my top 10. I don't know. I don't even know if he'd be in my top 15.
Oh, that's two opinions wrong.
I'd put Nico above him, I think. I'd put Rosberg above Häkkinen. I'm only joking. I think Rosberg's like my fifth.
For me, Nigel Mansell's better than Mika Häkkinen.
That's kind of fair.
Well, it's because he's British, isn't it?
No, it's because he's better.
Do you rate Nigel Mansell higher than Senna?
No.
No.
Thank you. For a second, I thought I was going to log off.
A farmer?
I mean, yeah,
I am. That's actually a good shout. Top 10 drivers. That could be a fun
that's just
an argument for 3 hours.
It's just going to be me and Ken having a shouting match again.
Me coming and going, oh, what about, I think Kobayashi was quite a good driver, guys.
What about Felipe Neto?
Christian Klien had some good races in that 2007.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an episode we could do.
Or underrated drivers.
I do have underrated. One more quick one, and I think you'll all agree with it. So, Danny Rick will never be a world champion. He ruined his chances when he left.
Amen.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
I think that one, even though we all agree because we all have similar tastes, there's a lot of people that would be like, he still has a good chance. He's too old now to win a championship.
I feel like if McLaren were ever going to prioritise anyone to win a world championship in their team, it'd be Lando.
Lando, because he gets the girls.
Go on, Ken.
No. I was just going to expand on that because we said we have multiple opinions, but we just put one in. Well, one of them was like the other one I had was about McLaren saying it's not going to be all happy, happy, joy, joy. Oh, look at us being meme lords. And yeah. I think Ricardo will wipe the floor with Norris.
No.
Yeah. I have to agree with Ken.
He'll get. Yeah, I mean,
Shame Ken's wrong though, isn't it? But
Norris has spent too much time streaming on Twitch, being shit at CUD, being carried by much better streamers, and he hasn't spent enough time practicing. Danny Rick is gonna absolutely terrorize him.
If Danny Rick would have gotten into the exact same car from last season, which Norris already had driven, then I'm not sure for the first race. It's a new engine supplier, new engine dimension, etc. So probably the chassis has been changed ever so slightly. So for Norris, it's going to be a learning curve as well. And Ricardo just adapts really well to a new car. We've seen it when he moved to Renault. I think he'll wipe the floor with Norris.
I think this is the worst out of the three F2 guys that came up in 2017 as well. I think if you're going to put it in order, you go Charles, George, a big gap, Lando.
I have to agree with Rickson.
Lando is the worst out of the three, but he's still an incredibly good driver. You are then putting him in front of two
only
very incredible drivers.
It's because he's from Bristol.
No, he's not. He's from Gloucester.
Same placement.
No, it's not.
They all talk funny.
Just because Wales is just Wales.
I would rather be from Wales. Because you both sound funny, but the Welsh is like better than the farmer.
So I'm going to put a prediction out there now. Now we've said this opinion.
Okay.
Lando will out-qualify Danny Rick in more races this season.
That's such non-prediction though. Because
who cares about qualifying?
Ricardo's such a good qualifier as well.
I say they just do random grids, see what happens.
Correct. I reckon Lando will qualify. Will get a better qualifying record against Danny Rick this season.
I reckon it'll take less than 7 races for them to have a massive fallout in the team, like a massive explosion.
There will definitely be a crash at some point. It's going to be Lando's fault.
Yep. And Ricardo's going to get out and flip a middle finger like he did in Hungary and call his teammate a sore loser.
If it's difficult, I think Danny Rick will just pack it in, man. I wouldn't blame him. Couldn't imagine being Lando's teammate. Imagine the headaches you'd have to deal with him. Jesus Christ.
Does anyone remember that post from Kimi on Insta when he said Formula One drivers back then with like the picture of James Hunt with the racing suit open and the girls, and then racing drivers now, and it was Charles in his banana suit?
Oh, shocking. shocking, honestly.
I mean, he got so much hate for it, but he's got a point. Like, I'm not like Kimi Raikkonen is one of the last, well, and Alonso, one of the last like old school, if I can say that. And then you've got the generation of Danny Ric and the likes.
Oh no, because you have Kimi and
Alonso,
and you have Lewis and
Danny Ric.
Vettel. And
Danny Ric just, I think he just gets into that category. Then you have everybody else.
Yeah. And I think, like, sometimes, like, Danny Ric, if he looks at, like, I mean, the streaming, I don't know, it's a whole new world out there, et cetera, et cetera.
A whole new world.
I was thinking about that as well. I think if Danny Ric looks back at, say, they had a shit weekend, finished 12th and 13th, for example, and then they go home after the race, say, at Silverstone, they go home, and then he sees Lando happily streaming online. He'd be like, mate, either become a streamer or full-time Formula One driver.
Because it's just makes more money off streaming, to be fair. Probably makes a lot more money.
I don't think so. I think that's incorrect.
No. He gets about like 12,000 viewers. Just he
gets
like,
gets 2.4 million a year.
The amount of money you can make off being a subpar Twitch streamer is crazy. I think he would prefer to do that as well, because he's in the comfort of his own home. He can be weird. Nobody will judge him. Well,
different generations, aren't they, as well?
Very different, yeah.
Like with the driver parades when they were fans, you know, like the younger generation was like live streaming and being all funny. And then you had Kimi just looking at the clouds and going, boah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's a different generation.
It is. Yeah, I think I'm going to round it off there. I think I should have gone with my other controversial opinion, which was rallycross is better than every other motorsport. But we'll have to.
Oh, that's a discussion for another hour.
That's also incorrect.
The worst thing you've ever said. That is the worst thing.
Yeah,
it's good.
Well, we'll save it for part two.
Is it better than NASCAR? Before we end.
No, that's wrong.
NASCAR
but you know,
so
do you know but no, but you know,
turning left so much.
Do you know what is better than NASCAR and rallycross is
being stabbed in the face?
No, it's actually Nissan Leaf Racing.
Sorry, what?
Nissan Leaf Racing.
Oh,
the pinnacle of motorsport.
Exactly.
Top tier motorsport right there. Right, to be fair, Alex would hate that though, because it'd be silent.
That's a good point. Well, you get tyre screeching.
Yeah, but there's...
Do you?
Of course you, with the front wheel drive. There's so much understeer to those cars. You just you might as well just employ 20 bus drivers and race around like that, because that's how you feel when you drive around.
That reminds me of that Top Gear.
Top Gear, yeah.
The airport.
The airport and the historic people carrier racing.
To be fair,
the Leaf would be really quick out of the corners if you put it against conventional road cars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got instant torque.
Yeah, exactly. That's why
the Leaf is the best car ever created.
Exactly.
But I think the race couldn't be longer than 150 miles, because then it would run out of battery.
Well, no, it wouldn't even be able to do that. It'd be because you're driving really fast. It would probably be about 30 miles. I don't even.
I do remember one time I had to go pick up a Leaf to clean the exterior and the interior, and there was so little range in it left that I had to turn off the heater, the radio, and everything. So the front window was fogging off. So I had to, like, you know, like with your head between your shoulders, like look through a little gap. Because if I put the heater on, then I would run out of juice.
Oh,
but it made it. It soldiered on, like the amazing build quality of a car that it is.
Exactly. Japanese engineering.
Sponsor.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. Nissan sponsorship. Exactly.
Oh, an electric Scott. No, that's never mind.
We'll talk about more in the next episode. But yeah. I think that rounds off for our. I guess not so controversial, well, some of them at least, opinions in motorsport. If you've got any controversial opinions, let us know in the comment section below, or tweet us at GridWatchersPod. But like I said, if you are new here, don't forget to follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes, GridWatchers Podcast. And like I said, if you're on Twitter, give us a follow on GridWatchersPod. Thank you, Ken, Alex, and Rickson, once again for joining me, and we'll see you very shortly for a very soon. Thank you and good night.